prosecuted in the Bible that you don't.
Immigration.
Really don't have a real one here? Okay, yeah. There's none in the temple?
Yeah.
Oh, well, why do we have it in the temple?
Okay.
You want to put it this way. This is the BBT version. So it's also busted up into this.
We used to have the temple.
Yeah, it used to be on the temple. Yeah, this is from India. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, History of the Life of Ajarya, Text 22. Bandi Akshay Kaitavai Chauriyai Garitam Vrittim Astataha Dibrat Kutumbam Asuchihi Yatayamasa Dehinaha Bandhyakshay Kaitavaischaryayar Garhitam Vrittam Astitaha Dibrat Kutumbam Asuchir. Yatayam Asadehina Bandhyakshay Kaitavaischaryayar Garitam Vrittam Astitaha Vibrat Kutumbam Asuchir Yatayam Asudehinah Vanyakshar Kaitavaischaryayar Vritam Vrittam Astitah Vibratkutumbam Asuchir Yatayam Asadehina Vandekha Kaitavaschauryaya Vritam Vrittam Astitah Vibhat Kutumbam Asuchir Yatatam Asadehinam Vanyakshayar Kaitavaischauryayar Garitam Vrittam Astitah Vibrat Kutumbam Asuchir Yatayam Asadehinah Bandhi Akshayi. By unnecessarily arresting someone. Kaitavai, by cheating in gambling or throwing dice. Chauriyai, by committing theft. Suritam, condemned vrittim professions asatitaha, who has undertaken because of association with the prostitute, vibrat maintaining kurtumbam, his dependent wife and children, asuchihi, being most sinful, yatayam asa, he gave trouble, dehinaha, to other living entities. Translation: this fallen Brahman, Rajamu, gave trouble to others by arresting them and cheating them in gambling, or by directly plundering them. This was the way he earned his livelihood and maintained his wife and children. This verse indicates how degraded one becomes simply by indulging in illicit sex with a prostitute. Illicit sex is not possible with a chaste or aristocratic woman, but only with unchaste shudras. The more society allows prostitution and illicit sex, the more impetus it gives to cheaters, thieves, plunderers, drunkards, and gamblers. Therefore, we first advise all the disciples in our Krishna consciousness movement to avoid illicit sex, which is the beginning of all abominable life, and which is followed by leaving, gambling, intoxication, one after another. Of course, restraint is very difficult, but it is quite possible if one surrenders to Krishna, since all these abominable habits gradually become distasteful for a Krishna conscious person. If illicit sex is allowed to increase in a society, however, the entire society will be condemned, for it will be full of rogues, thieves, cheaters, and so forth. And not only is it the dire Krishna, the dire Bhutalais, Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Kinamini, Namaste, Sarasate, De, De, Gauravani, Pacharini, Niti, Shesa, Sun, Varita, Tatkade, Sakhara. Omangyanam timmaran dasya ganam javat shala kaya chaksur ur yavitam jainam tasmai sri garavi namaha vamsha kalpat yudhyas cha pritka sindhu vi eva cha pritikam avnitya kaisya devyam namaha. Okay, so here Ajaniyo, his vritti, his means of livelihood, how he earns his living, was all on the criminal side, by unnecessarily arresting someone. It seems like he was engaging either in kidnapping or some kind of process like that, holding people for ransom. Kaitavas, cheating, but here it means engaging in gambling and so on. But as a means of livelihood, that means if you win steadily at gambling, you're usually a cheater. You throw dice, but your dice, you know, one is heavy, they're heavy on one side, so at the beginning, with the cards, you have them, you know, you mark the cards, so. So if you win all this, if you make money by this, usually you're cheating. This is his, so he was a cheater. Charyar means he was a theft, thief. Huh? Steve. Climbing in people's windows at night and stealing their things. Either burglary, or the other is robbery. Hold a gun and we'll take it. Give me your watch, give me your wallet. So these are his, he was a criminal. So this way, he maintained his dependence because asuchi, everything was impure, unclean, sinful, and gave trouble to other living beings. Livelihood was such a way that it gave trouble. So Prabhupada makes it clear here in several ways that everything begins with the illicit sex. He says it in the word for word. He's vritta, he's astitaha, he's undertaken, and he says it is because of association with a prostitute. In the purport, this verse indicates how degraded one becomes simply by indulging in illicit sex with a prostitute. So that's the beginning. Because he had this connection with her, he couldn't, and was fallen, he couldn't live as a brahmana. So he had to find some other way of living outside the law. So he became degraded in this way. So here, if you really want, the more society allows prostitution and illicit sex, the more impetus it gives to the cheaters, thieves, plunderers, drunkards, and gamblers. This is actually what's happening. When the word that Prabhupada uses, prostitute, doesn't exactly, in the West we hear the word prostitute, we think of a woman who sells her body for a price for sex. Prabhupada means something a little broader than that. Because he said, in India we have the prostitute, in America you have the girlfriend. So meaning, what he means by prostitute is any woman which is sexually available. You know, there does not necessarily be a overt, you know, $50 an hour or $100 an hour transaction. It's just, you know, the girlfriend, he says. The girlfriend. Well, boyfriend also, actually. It's come to that. So everyone has become a Shudra. In other words, the standard of chastity, of celibacy, is not respected anymore. Certainly, in American society, everybody got a shock, you know, in 1947, the Kinsey Report or whatever, which said, you know, what people were really doing as opposed to what people said they were doing. And it seemed to have been fairly accurate, the amount of adultery going on, and so on, all these things. And people began to get a shock, and then people said, why should we be hypocrites? Let's just be open about it. So a lot of times when in the society there are there's hypocrisy, and people start to condemn hypocrisy, that means they just remove the restrictions. Because we see anywhere, any place there are high standards, there's hypocrisy. Because a certain number of people want to pretend to be respectable, and so they do everything in secret. And they're sneaking around and doing everything. We saw this, like for example, at that time in America, prohibition from alcohol was illegal. Simply everybody. Not everybody, but a huge number of people made arrangements to illegally get alcohol. Even the people, the senators that voted for it, they had no intention of not taking alcohol. And, you know, in the town I was born in, this little town in Georgia, the county, it was a dry county. You couldn't buy alcohol over county. You probably had to go about three counties away to actually buy a legal drink, because everybody was pious. But, you know, guys were just like coming in, and you knew where to go. You knew where to go. And people had these, in their basements, men had these mason jars filled with locally made alcohol, corn liquor. You distill it from the corn. Everybody wanted a drink out of it. So there, I was just reading about this town in Colorado that was founded on temperance principles. And really, Colorado, a very progressive place, for one thing, was, is that, see, the temperance movement, the anti-alcohol movement that was going on in America, was a very progressive cause. Because the result of alcohol use of these men who were drinking was spousal abuse, abandoned children, wasted money, so many things. So there was a real crusade against alcohol because people saw what the results were. So there were towns founded, this town of Colorado was founded on this temperance principle. So you couldn't get any alcohol in this town. But 1 mile away, there was another little town, which was nothing but bars and liquor shops, where everybody just went and got it. And India also. Until recently, anyway, you couldn't get a drink in Bombay. Right? There's no alcohol. But what were people doing? You read about these weddings where so many people died because his sister was drinking. So these places that says that law says no alcohol, everybody's cheating. So that's what happens. Or you look at Saudi Arabia. If you want to see hypocrisy, super strict puritanical Islam, no alcohol. But then anybody who has any money, they go to Bahrain, and inside their houses, everybody cheats. Except those that are really poor, then they have a hard time. But those who are rich, they avoid all these things. So this is the trouble about strict principles. Every time you have strict principles, There'll be people who cheat. So then people say, this is hypocritical, this legalized the cheating. So now everything is legal. Now gambling has become legal just in a short amount of time. In America, it used to be, when I was a kid, there was only one place in America you could go to gamble, was Las Vegas. That was Las Vegas. Anybody wanted to go to otherwise gambling was going on. But it was all in the hands of criminals. If you wanted to bet on sports games and bet on horse races, you could in some places where they had horse races, you could go to the track and bet there. But the off-track betting was all illegal, and betting on sports, other things like that, completely illegal. So it was all in the hands of criminals, what they call bookmakers. We have some devotees who grew up in South Philadelphia as the young children back then, they were carrying bags of money, going to the bookmaker, working for the mob. So these things are all going on illegally. And the trouble is, there was a kind of agreement. You see, these things, same with prostitution, which has never been not there. And so that's always been going on. And whenever there's organized crime, that also means they have police protection. Otherwise it's too risky. So then the police become corrupt, because the criminals have so much money, and they give bribes to police, or judges even, you know, and prosecutors, and so the whole society becomes corrupt. So it's really true that when first of all, the nature of unrestricted sex is it agitates. The reason it's mentioned here is the primary thing. Is Prabhupada remarks that when one becomes full of love for sexual enjoyment and indulgence, then all the other senses also become agitated to enjoy. That's why it has this key. So that when one wants to have sex, then one wants to enjoy all the other senses. And it's the nature of the motive passion that when you satisfy a desire, it only increases it. You're adding you know, lighter fluid to the fire, which doesn't put it out. So that therefore, all the other senses, as prophecy, become separately enlightened to enjoy. So then you have to eat. And therefore you want to eat all kinds of things. And immediately becomes very important for this kind of thing. And of course, intoxication is really necessary. And then also gambling comes in. You can see that as soon as there are casinos, the next place to have casinos after Las Vegas, well, it was Atlantic City. And I could see it was going to come. The first time, Atlantic City had been the boardwalk and everything. Everybody used to go there in the summer. But in the 50s, 60s. But then people started to go for their summers other places. Florida, the Caribbean, and stuff like that. They had a little more money and travel was cheap. So Atlantic City was almost desolate. You know, all these big features, all the piers and the boardwalks and everything. It was like a ghost town practically. So then they wanted to legalize gambling in Atlantic City. And suddenly there were all kinds of people interested. And the first time, it went up for vote, it was voted down. Because many of the people that live in, especially in southern New Jersey, they're really church-going, pious people who are against gambling. So then the second time, it was put up for a vote, in order to take care of the conscience factor. They made a rule that a certain amount of the profits for the gambling will go to the elderly. And then it passed. And I just knew it was inevitable that it would happen. And then also then that started. And then as soon as there was casinos, there was prostitution. There were drugs. Of course, the casinos are all selling alcohol. Well, there was also prostitution. And of course, the meat eating would increase like even more so. And the casinos were just so arranged in such a way that you entered into another space. They had no windows. I know this because we were doing a Rathiatra in Atlantic City once in a while. And it's funny, like the casinos are full of people, but the boardwalk is practically empty. And here's a bathroom there in the casino. And there were no windows. And there were no clocks. And you could get breakfast any time of the day or night. You know, it was like you were just in a whole other world. Where the whole idea was to get you to be an idiot and lose money. And alcohol is going. So these things become worse and worse and worse. America just went on a big campaign against smoking because so many people suffered. The health costs were incredible with lung cancer. What's even more dangerous to health is alcohol. And you do not see any campaign against alcohol. Different people try to stop gambling in different places, but it goes on and on and on. Because the states now depend upon the money. They need the money that comes from gambling. They need the lotteries. They need the tax money, local people does. So it's all these things are there. These are the things that are signs of Kali Yuga. So all of this starts with illicit sex, which is the beginning of all abominable life, which is followed by meat eating, gambling, intoxication, one after another. So the whole country, and really every time anybody writes anything about meat eating, how meat is produced in this country, what how it works, what goes on, what the environmental impact is, everyone is horrified, but they can't stop meat eating. Very few people can stop it. Because their senses are so agitated. And everybody knows the evils of gambling, the evils of intoxication. I mean, intoxication is so pervasive. There's not just alcohol which is for sale legally to people of a certain age. The amount of illicit drugs, speed, and pills. It's just a normal thing. I talk to people who are in the construction trade, and they're working on a house, and the boss wants them to work overtime. They hand out pills of amphetamine, speed, you know, so they make keep working and stay home. It's just the whole country is running on drugs of one kind or another, uppers and downers. It's absolutely incredible. The amount of intoxication that goes on. That will cause you to lose more or less control of your sense. And with the illicit sex, you know, there's the AIDS epidemic but see, then the people who want to, preach no sex, no illicit sex, the abstinence, the Christians, it just doesn't work. Everybody knows it's not effective, or it's not very effective. And they can't stop it. So what to do? When you look at these countries where people try to impose these things by force, you know, these countries where the conservative Muslims are taking control, like the Taliban and people like that, and they just by police force they stop all these things. It very soon leads to hypocrisy because people's hearts aren't changed. they're still addicted. And of course, all they can promote at least is some kind of karma kanda religion. Of course, meeting is still going on. Everybody makes arrangements. You know. They're all big on rape in those countries. So, this whole cluster of sinful activities of the four regular principles, if people could actually follow them, they would just completely transform society. You think things would really change? People would just be a whole other world. People wouldn't imagine. And very people are loath to admit the extent of these things. It's the size of what they call the underground economy. It is, I would say, several orders of magnitude bigger than just the estimate. And what that does. And just social costs is incredible. And people keep trying to fight these things by various means. But it just doesn't work. Because the idea that you actually might be able to control your senses is not possible. So how to change things? Well, you just have to change. It has to be a cultural change. It has to be a cultural change. And Prabhupada says here, of course, restraint is very difficult. But it is quite possible if one fully surrenders to Krishna, since all these abominable habits gradually become distasteful for a Krishna-conscious person. If it's in the context of Krishna consciousness, then it's actually possible. Now, therefore, if we want to save people, what has to happen, ultimately, is ISKCON has to be a society where these things are not going on. You know, where the amount of hypocrisy is at a sort of very low level, where principally people are following, and people will see what it's like. Because when you want to preach Krishna consciousness to anybody, somebody to become a devotee, what that person is thinking is that you want me to come just like you. Is that what I want to be? And if they see hypocritical, conflicted, unhappy, they're not interested. If they see the Taliban, you know, or you call a cult, people are also not interested. But when they see that people are actually following these principles because they're into something else and it makes them happy, and they're not having illicit sex and they're really happy, they're not taking intoxication and they're really happy, they're not gambling, they're not eating meat, they're really happy, then people say, wow, I didn't know it was possible. So this is the hard part of preaching. Anybody can say anything, but one has to preach by example. But if I can find this place, you know, there's. So one has to simply one has to simply understand the the principles of spiritual life and become committed to them, here in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada has a discussion about brahmacharya. Brahmacharya, celibacy, and all illicit sex, is simply a requirement for yoga. It's necessary. One has to advance in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada didn't cheat. There's no Kaitava Dharma. Kaitava Dharma says, yeah, you can be a spiritual person, but you can also do this and this and this. It's cheating religion. Kaitava Dharma. Sense gratification. Bhagavatam Niramat Sadhanam Satam. It's for those people. Clean. Then, as far as possible. So one, first of all, has to accept this principle. And no cheating. So Prabhupada says to realize the Vishnumurti within the heart as the goal of yoga. Realize means to have contact with the Lord in the heart. Contact can be preliminary contact that one receives guidance and direction from the Lord. One knows what to do. Actually, if one is just in a mode of goodness, that contact begins if you're a devotee. And then one becomes transcendental, then actually there's direct association with Krishna. So this is what we mean by realize this Vishnumurti in the heart. One has to observe complete absence from sexual life. Therefore, one has to leave home and live alone in a secluded place. Huh? The beginning of these instructions, suchao de shave, pistapi, stiram, asamaya. Leave home and go to a secluded place. Remaining seated, as mentioned above. One cannot enjoy sex life daily at home or elsewhere. With the spouse or with a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever. Daily at home or elsewhere, and attend a so-called yoga class and thus become a yogi. The Prabhupada is the only one who says it. Everybody else enjoy but in the spirit of renunciation and so on. They don't tell them this. Maharshi Mahesh Yogi doesn't tell them this, you know, because they won't have any customers. And people have complained to Prabhupada, nobody will come. And his answer was, well, if you are selling diamonds, how many customers can we expect? No, we don't care if they don't come. We're not going to compromise for this kind of popularity. One has to practice controlling the mind and avoiding all kinds of sense gratification, of which sex life is the chief. I like to quote the authority on sex, Sigmund Freud, the poet, and civilization and its discontents, the prototype of all pleasure. In other words, we have this phrase when somebody goes skiing or something or snowboarding and they have a really good time, they say, it was better than sex. Because that's the standard. By which you measure any pleasure is usually their line. But they say it's better than sex. Only heroin addicts tend to be celibate. Maybe that's... Unless, of course, they want money. Anyway. In the rules of celibacy, written by the great sage Yajnavalkya, it is said... So here's what celibate brahmacharya means. Karmana manasa vacha sarvavasto sarvudha sarvatra Maitana Tyago Brahmacharya Prakashate. So Brahmacharya, the meaning of this Brahmacharya is Michael Jack giving up sex. How? Karmana in action. Manasa in mind. You don't do it. You don't think about it. Vacha. You don't talk about it. Savavasto. In all conditions. Sarvada. Sarvatra. Every time, everywhere, every place. All times, all circumstances, every place. That's what he says it means. So we're not even supposed to think about it. So then Prabhupada, after announcing, is Yajnavalkya, you know, writer of the Dharma Shastras. And Prabhupada endorses this, Brahmacharya. So he said, wait a minute, we have householders. But so Prabhupada deals with this. No one can perform correct yoga practice through sense indulgence. Brahmacharya is taught, therefore, from childhood, when one has no knowledge of sex life. So we may have missed out on that opportunity. Because children, at least now in the progressive countries, are introduced to sex life at earlier and earlier ages. And then immediately think about it. You know, even when I was growing up, I knew kids who were 8 years old who could hardly wait. So they're just waiting to have sex because they already knew about it. Because it was, well, even in those days it wasn't so prevalent as it is now, but now everybody knows there's television, internet, movies, and so on. Children at the age of 5 are sent to the Gurukula, or the place of the spiritual master, and the master trains the young boys in the strict discipline of becoming brahmacharis. So the best thing is to begin young, before puberty, where one is trained in certain ways, isolated from baneful influences. So it's very hard. Prabhupada will talk about this later in the context of the Ajami. Without such practice, no one can make advancement in any yoga, whether it be dhyana or bhakti. So a general rule, all yoga is practice of celibacy, brahmacharya, absolutely required. Prabhupada is just telling the truth. This is the law of the spiritual life. Sometimes people come and say to me, for example, well, can I just do this? I said, you know. What can I say? Okay, go ahead, walk off the ground, you know, to how can I change the laws of nature? If you do this, then your spiritual life will be blocked. It's not my power to change these laws. But okay, it's okay to do this or okay to do that. You may do it, but you'll pay a price. Then he turns to the householder issue, because it's necessary in bhakti, brahmacharya. One who, however, follows the rules and regulations of married life, having sexual relationship only with his wife, and that also under regulation, is also called a brahmacharya. Under regulation, he's also given those regulations. Once a month, with the intention of having a child with Garbhadhana Samskara. Everything else is illicit. This is, if we do anything else, we're breaking the vow of brahmacharya. This is what's necessary for spiritual advancement. Even generally, in the brahmanas, in India, even if they're not Vaishnavas, or followers, strictly same, everybody knows once a month. Sometimes it's enjoying once a month, like paying the bills or something, a household duty. But that's it. once a month. Because, well, this is what happens. You start having sex very frequently. The same partners, then it starts to get a little boring, but you're still agitated, and then there's, you know, adultery of one kind or another, prostitution, boyfriends, girlfriends, and so on. And then you've got to cover it up, and you've got to fund it, and then you've got to be cheating, and you've got to start embezzling, and, you know, one thing leads to another, and so on. He says, so this sex relationship only with his wife, and that under regulation, is also called a brahmacharya. Such a restraint, household or brahmacharya. So here's this phrase, huh? The household or brahmacharya. Such a restraint, household or brahmacharya, may be accepted in the bhakti school. But the jnana and dhyana schools do not admit even household or brahmacharis. In other words, actually practice jnana yoga or dhyana yoga, this is Ashtanga yoga. If you're a householder, forget it. You have to be a brahmachari or a sannyas, or an ashram, your household, you can't. You just give donations, that's all. You can give donations. Those schools, require complete abstinence without compromise. In the bhakti school, a householder brahmachari is allowed controlled sex life because the cult of bhakti yoga is so powerful that one automatically loses sexual attraction being engaged in the superior service of the Lord. And then he quotes from the Bhagavad Gita, Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinaha. This verse deals with the hypocrisy question, because Krishna says, yeah, you can take your senses away from the object, but your mind is still absorbed. So what do we do about that part? Because the mind has been conditioned. And in the beginning of this chapter, Prabhupada says the whole yoga process begins is really on cleansing the mind. So if one is acting, then the mind will never become cleansed. But one stops acting, the mind still has to be cleansed. So we have a very powerful process. But when there's parandrispa, when there's some experience of the Supreme, some contact with the Supreme, even if it's the reflection of the holy name, then the taste for material things goes away. When others are forced to restrain themselves from sense gratification, a devotee will automatically refrain because of superior taste. Other than the devotee, no one has information of that superior taste. That's why there's some license in this way for householders in this Krishna consciousness. But anyway, that is the rule of celibacy. And so one may reform outward, and also the mind, the word, speech, all these things happen. So one has to become more and more absorbed in Krishna, less and less absorbed in sense gratification. Any questions?
I have a question. I've heard being tough amongst people in the ashram. I've heard from several people, well, Prabhupada had two levels of sin in the ashram. Sometimes it was like, very difficult to follow, just being of a higher standard, only once in a while in the congregation. So, but at least, you know, it's just with our lives, we're showing them or something. And so that's okay. But I've never found that issue.
No. Because I think that comes from a number of times Prabhupada doesn't spell everything out in detail. He says, just say no, listen, sex, no sex outside of marriage. Especially in talking to big audiences. I mean, in the beginning, you know, Prabhupada did not introduce the full meaning of no illicit sex until the first time, just before people were going to be initiated. And he said, he was very clear. And the devotees, you know, only once a month, and if you're not, don't want to have a child, don't do it. And then the devotees freaked out. Somebody, maybe Hayagriva, said to Prabhupada, "Well, in that case, it'd be better to give up the whole thing." And Prabhupada laughs. He says, "Yeah, that's the idea." That's what he said. So he made it really clear in the very beginning exactly what it meant when people take initiation vows, exactly what it means. Now, I suppose there may be degrees of illicitness, but there's not two kinds of illicit. I would put it the other way, there's degrees of illicit. Some things are worse than others. Prabhupada we know that sometimes it takes people time to actually follow these principles. But once you set a lower standard and then says everything is okay, then you're really compromised. Then you have a karmakanda religion, basically. And whatever you say, it means your spiritual advancement will stop. You may get some permission, or think you've got permission from somebody that it's okay. You can find some guru in this town who says it's all right. But that doesn't mean that you're not going to be baffled in your spiritual advancement. You will not get a taste for Krishna consciousness. When you don't get a taste for Krishna consciousness, then you're going to be unhappy and you're going to be looking for material enjoyment in other spheres. So that's the consequence.